Join the chorus. It's time for another North Melbourne Footy Club update with Dean Vasek and special guests on Hashtag Kangaroos.
Welcome to another episode. My name is Dean Vasek. You can find me on Twitter at Hashtag Kangas or on Instagram at Hashtag Kangaroos Podcast. So today I was joined by Frank Descalzo to do a preview of the North Melbourne versus Collingwood game coming up on Saturday afternoon. So we had a lot to discuss. Obviously leaked emails with Jason Alfrancis' omission, David Noble, and a number of other things. So I won't hold you up anymore. I'll bring on Frank right now.
All right, so I'm once again joined by Frank Descalzo. So now, Frank, there's obviously been a lot of news the last few days, which is not unusual with our football club this year. I might as well start with a leaked email that came from the Coterie Club member, Adrian, I believe his name was. How did you see all that and the response from Sonia Hood as well?
Dean, probably like I think you and I spoke about it at the start of the year with the whole leaking of that David Noble spray after the Brisbane Lions game. There seems to be forces within the club that want change. And I think these, when the club starts leaking like this from wherever it is, I think there's got to be someone internally that is after change of either at the football department level or board level. And things like this just sort of further punctuate that for me.
Yeah, I mean, it was, look, the guy made some good points, but he's pretty much made that email public. He obviously wanted to leak it out. He sent it to about 30 people or so forth or something like that. So he obviously wanted to make it public and be known where he's at. As far as football club, Ben Amafia's response was interesting. Still talking about the advanced metrics and how we're doing well in that and so forth. So that was, I'll leave it as an interesting response. And then, he obviously replied to that as well in the end. And doesn't seem too happy and wants change as far as CEOs, presidents, and pretty much the board as far as we can see. And Sonia Hood, I'll give her credit. She stood up for herself and pretty much said the guy was gutless for putting that out. And good on her, I suppose, for that. But it just adds to more of the storm, doesn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. And for what it's worth, Dean, I don't buy the Ben Amafia response. I think he's either taking supporters for being stupid, or the whatever the advanced metrics are that we're looking at, they clearly have absolutely no outcome on what we're doing out on the ground. Because how you could put in the effort we have in the last 11 weeks and somehow try to spin on confidential metrics where we're improving, I think is just ridiculous.
Yeah, anyone can see that. And, trying to use that as a response, you'd have to plead ignorance to that. So, he's talking about kilometres travelled in a game, but that means that's only because we're chasing players all the time. We've never got the possession of the ball. So, that's not a metric you really want to use. And, let's just do the simple things first before we worry about the advanced sort of stuff. And, I don't know, maybe he's believing David Noble and, what he tells him. So, it looks like, there's going to be a change, I reckon, there probably in the coming weeks. I'll have to think as well. So,
yep.
We'll go through a quick review of last week's game with you. Obviously, we don't need to say too much. How did you see the game, just quickly?
horrible, mate. Yeah, really. The only redeeming feature, LDU was enormous. Paul Curtis continues to do things that I think if we could give him the ball more, he can be something quite special for us. Couple of others battled, and then the rest was horrible.
I couldn't agree more. It was a tough watch, and I've already talked about it to death on Monday, so I'm not going to go too much more into it. We move forward I'll talk about David Noble. Is there any reason, like, I don't think we need Jeff Walsh to tell us that, it's not working. I mean, everybody pretty much sees that. Do you have a reason why we probably haven't moved on from him at the moment?
Maybe you'd suspect that there's more than just David Noble. Maybe, you know, they're waiting for the review rather than to do it bit by bit. Maybe there's wholesale changes coming. And they're waiting on that. But personally, no, I don't know why we haven't moved on at least sort of saying that he won't be coaching next year. I just think we need to start repairing the players or the list's confidence. Every week he's there, we seem to go further backwards in either development, form, the selection. I just think we're waiting for a date.
100%. Look, it's pretty much dead man walking, waiting for your death sentence at the moment. He's still talking positively. He did a media press conference yesterday, still saying that, no, my message is pretty clear. The player, you know, he still believes we're going in the right direction. Probably a bit of delusion. I'm not too sure. I mean, everyone knows that this isn't working. And sometimes these things just don't work. So, yeah, you've probably got fair points there as to why we haven't moved on from him yet. But, you know, I think it's only a matter of time. And, yeah, look, for me personally, I would like to see I'd like to see John Blakey given a chance for 6 weeks to see what he's got, because at the moment, we're not sure about Alistair Clarkson. There's obviously talk about him to Essendon and GWS. There's no certainty that if we move on from Noble and we chase Clarkson hard, that he want to come to us. So, you know, it would be nice to have a look at a senior assistant like a John Blakey, see what he has to offer. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. And it might just give supporters hope for the rest of the year as well, because he can get that reaction from players when a new coach comes in that you know, there's a new game plan and there's, you know, there's clear instruction and clear structure, and you never know. And usually players play with freedom. So,
yeah,
I would have liked to have seen, especially coming up against Collingwood, because, you know, I mean, it would be nice to get that, reaction from the players this week to a new coach. And it might just, rejuvenate a few players as well who have had a, you know, pretty flat few weeks and a pretty flat season as well. So, it is what it is at the moment, mate. So, you'll be coaching on Saturday. Look, in saying that, should some of this blame go to list management as well? Has he been given a tough hand? I mean, he has been given a tough hand. But is the list as bad as, you know, as it's going at the moment? I don't think it is.
No, I've said this before to you, Dean. I think we're, in all honesty, I think we're a 6 to 8 goal better side than what we're currently playing. So that doesn't mean we would have won or we were going to make the top 8 or anything like that. But I definitely think that list has got 6 to 8 wins in it over a season where it sits at the moment. So the fact that we've gone backwards, I know I've always questioned our injury management as well. I think that's been pretty poor for the last couple of years, our rehab and stuff like that. Either that or we've been just horribly unlucky. But I don't think the list is as bad. I don't think this is a list that should have won one game. Even the blokes that have gone out onto the park, I think, are better than what we've returned.
Yeah, I agree with that. Yeah, look, I mean, there's still a lot of talent there. This is the same list, last year in the second half of the year where we won 3.5 games, and you know, it certainly showed signs. We kicked a big score against Carlton. That third quarter was pretty good to watch, and you talk about injury management as well. We have been pretty unlucky, but I think some of it might be our own doing. Maybe recovery is not great because we're getting a lot of soft tissue injuries. I can understand bad luck with players hurting shoulders in contests or doing knees, ACLs and so forth. But my concern is, soft tissue injuries. I mean, it was only a few weeks ago, Jacob Edwards, they had to take him out of the football for 3 weeks to ramp up his training because his conditioning wasn't right. But I don't understand that. Like halfway through a season, and what's a pre-season for if he's not fit at that sort of stage of the season? Aiden Bonner's done a couple of soft tissue injuries. Aaron Hall just in his third soft tissue injury. And I think that's got to be, some of the blame as well. They've got to be just as much under just as much pressure as the coaches at the moment, don't they?
Yeah, and this is where you wonder if the Jeff Walsh review is going to sort of press for changes there as well. I mean, I know Bailey Scott and Archer have missed because of hip injuries. Now, were they collision injuries? Were they overuse injuries where they were just, overtrained or whatever? And these soft tissue injuries happen. There's a lot of that around that I think goes beyond it just bad luck. Maybe the whole Walsh review is that look, there's a real concern here with injury management and stuff like that, and maybe that they're some of the people that may suffer as well.
Yeah, I think David Noble's was the individual that brought in this strength and conditioning team at the start of the season. So, it's all falling apart for him at the moment. So, maybe that might have something to do with it. Maybe they just, or it could have something to do with, running a lot more Ks, chasing players. We're covering a lot more kilometres during a game. So maybe that's causing fatigue in muscles and probably chances at soft tissue injuries. I'm not too sure, but I don't know what they do at training, be honest with you. So maybe that's part of it as well. So
the one thing I will say, Dean, on that is that we do play a really a very contested version of football at the moment, because there seems to be no run and flow into open space. Everything seems to be a kick to a contested mark or a contested situation. And I wonder, just that repeat collision with the long down the line and packs forming and stuff like that. I don't think that benefits a team either. If we had a little bit more dare and dash and we were a quick ball moving side, I think that sort of takes a little bit of that collision football out. But at the moment, we just, I don't know how Larky is still standing. With the sort of the long ball on top of his head, week after week after week.
No, I agree with that. And at the moment, it didn't happen much on the weekend because the ball barely got inside our 50. I think we had 13 inside 50 entries after the first quarter. So I'm surprised.
That game, Dean, was as close to a half-court game of football as I've seen.
I agree with that. I've never seen a complete domination like that since junior football, really. Yeah. Like for an AFL team to completely be mauled like that. I think it was 131-13 after quarter time, and just the game played in one half of the ground, and we sort of catered to it. But what can you do? And just talking about that list, it looks like I think at this early stage, and I know it's an early call, but we might have even missed out on one in the mid-season draft with the Essendon player, Ambrosio, looking very good for them. We've sort of picked a player on a needs-based. I think we need a key position defender, an intercept defender, so that's why we picked Callum Dawson. It's a bit – I'm not going to write him off. I haven't seen him yet, really. So, Ambrosio looks very good. So, and he's a good, classy user of a football as well. So, who knows at the moment. So, I think Brady Rawlings will be reviewed as well as part of that. So, we'll see how we go. I mean, they've talked – we'll continue on with the list. They've talked about that we may look to get an experienced player at the club, like a Luke Hodge type, after he supposedly retired at Hawthorn. He went to Brisbane for a couple of years, played a leadership role in the back half. I think we're looking at that. Any player you see that could fill that role for North next season?
Oh, mate, Dean, I'd probably go, who couldn't fill that role at the moment? I mean, you look at anyone over 30 at the moment, and you'd from other lists, and you'd think if they became available and said, look, I'll come over for a 2-year contract or even a 12-month contract because I'm going to retire. You look at either of the Josh Kennedys and you'd go, they'd get games at North at the moment. You look at, someone like a Hawkins at Geelong, would absolutely walk into the club. Jack Riewoldt, I know someone wrote an article about that the other day. You think, well,
he yeah, this is it.
There's literally anyone at the moment that's in that sort of bracket of that Luke Hodge. I mean, there's probably character issues with maybe some of the guys that may become available in the off-season that you think, do you want to bring someone into a club that's currently sort of in a bit of turmoil? So that would be my only stipulation is, I think we all know those kind of players that you go, look, he'd walk in and play senior footy, but off field, you know, character wise, is he what we want? Other than that, Dean, I mean, there's, you know, Griffin Logue, you know, you'd love to get him. The list is just endless.
Oh, look, and that, like, position is 9 cents of the law. We'd love to get Bailey Dale, Griffin Logue, a number of others, but we'll probably end up getting nothing. I mean, there's nothing that we can really sell them with other than giving a bigger paycheck, which is kind of dangerous grounds as well. Because we did it with Jared Pollock, and how many games has he played for the club in the last couple of years? He's played about two or three. So you've got to be careful.
And I think we're just in a completely different time window at the moment. I know the Jared Pollock one, in hindsight, was probably, could we pry open the premiership window with these kind of acquisitions? But I think that though we're long out of that sort of segment at the moment, and anyone that really, you know, any top level player that comes over in their mid to late 20s is coming over as a mercenary. I think in the end, you know, you're just trying to buy them over. So I'd be very careful about going and trying to chase any top liner with the lure of money because, I don't know that that's where we're at the moment.
Yeah, and I think we'll probably have to pay Jason LaFrancis a bit as well. Cameron Zerha at the end of the season might the thing that's stopping that is probably the Luke Jackson Fremantle thing. If he re-signed with Melbourne, then I think Fremantle will go pretty hard at Cameron Zerha because he's the type of player they would love to have. So we've got to save a bit of money for ourselves as well. So before we go and get Bailey Dale and over, and if you want to get a free agent, you have to overspend as well. I mean, that's just the reality of the situation. Otherwise, they're going to stay at their club or go to a club that's close to a premiership rather than right at the bottom, to be honest with you. I mean, I'll go back to the experienced type of player. Like, I think Ricky on Monday's episode mentioned someone like a Shannon Hearn, just that leader, captain in the halfback flank. Yeah,
absolutely.
I'd love a Scott Pendlebury for two or three years.
A Scott Pendlebury's another one. But again, all those guys I sort of think would walk in, they would offer what we need. The question is, how do you go about getting them without giving away more draft picks or overpaying them? You know, as someone I saw wrote, do you just get really aggressive and try to push someone through to the pre-season draft? You know, but yeah, that would be my only concern is what we give up to get those kind of players to the club, because they're not idiots, Dean. They know they're coming for what's probably going to be some heartburn.
Yeah, I think someone like a Scott Pendlebury, who's an unrestricted free agent, so you could probably offer him a coaching role after he stops playing after 2 years or something like that. That would be nice. Or even Shannon Hearn, I'm not too sure what he's like as a character, whether he wants to move to Melbourne or so forth like that. It's usually that half-back flanker that you want to – like even Brisbane went to Grant Birchall there for a couple of years as well. It's usually a half-back flanker that they want as their general. We tried it with Zeebel and it worked okay, but it looks like they're – they've given up on that and they're just going to play him forward. So maybe they want someone like that in the back half because, we are lacking a lot of leaders at the moment, unless you call Kane Turner a really good leader, would you?
Oh, I think we'll leave that one there, Dean.
I thought you'd say that. So, we'll talk about team changes. They're going to come out soon. We don't have them at the moment. Looks like Jason LaFrancis is coming back through the twos. How do you find that?
Oh, well, I've posted it on Twitter, Dean, I find that really hard to believe that a kid who's missed 3 weeks in a row and is clearly in our best 22 doesn't get a game.
Yeah.
If you're worried about his conditioning, which I can't imagine, he wasn't injured. So you could have put the miles into him. And sort of freshened him up, how you couldn't possibly play him off half forward. You know, yeah. I mean, going on last week's stats, he's only going to see the ball 20 times. You know, I don't know. But anyway, maybe he put his hand up and said, look, I want to have a full game in the twos. I don't know.
I find it hard to believe anyone would say that wants to play AFL football. I'm not too sure the logic behind it. I don't think it's conditioning. Apparently, he's been training really well. That's what David Noble even said. He would have been training the 3 weeks when he wasn't suspended or wasn't playing. Yeah. So, I don't. And like you said, I mean, me and you could play forward at the moment. We wouldn't get, would be fit enough to play in our forward line. So, I don't think that's an excuse. So, I'm not too sure. And if you want it, look, I mean, we've pretty much got close to 0% chance of winning this week, you'd have to think. But if you want to have a chance of winning, then you've got to get, a game breaker like that into your team, don't you? And he's coaching for his job as well.
Yeah, absolutely. So, I don't know. Is this a personal thing, a rift between him and Noble. I haven't seen, this is the times where you think I know he's very young, but nobody's come out. And I know Horton Francis hasn't come out and sort of said anything and gone, no, look, I understand, I need to come back through the twos. Just all the signs are that, there seems to be a real rift between some of the senior footballers and David Noble. And you can see that. I think I can see it on game day. And this might just be another example of where they're just not buying into his rhetoric and his approach.
Well, I think there's only probably a couple of players that are. Jack Zeeble speaks quite well, but I'm not too sure if he believes what he actually says or if he's just it's just all media thing. But maybe Cam Turner buys into his approach. That's why he gets a game in the week. But I've just got the team changes that come in now, so I'll go through them with you. So in Bailey Scott, Jack Zeeble, Aidan Bonner, Callum Coleman Jones, and Flynn Perez. Out of the team, Jack Marnie omitted. Artu Bosnavalagi omitted. Josh Walker. A surprise omission. Yeah. Kane Turner, concussion, Aaron Hall quad, and Tristan Sherry, who's probably out for the season with a shoulder injury as well. Needs an operation there. So pretty much the only way Callum Coleman-Jones is going to get a game if one of those two big boys is injured. But it would have been interesting to see if they did play him, if Tristan Sherry was available. So, it's just come through now. What are your initial thoughts on the team selection?
I think, again, without going over the Horn Francis one, I think I would have liked to have seen him get a game this week. I think nothing to lose. But I guess some concerns there that Thomas still isn't back. Hopefully that is what we're hearing, that, he's just having some, personal issues with the death in the family. I hope it doesn't sort of continue on into the next few weeks. But other than that, I think, like you said, would have been interesting to see, had Sherry been available, what that team looked like. Walker's a bit of an interesting one. I think he's actually played okay, Dean.
Yeah, I think he has too. I think he's been better than Aidan Court, to be honest with you.
Yeah. I think of all the guys that you could point a finger in the back line, he's probably not one of them.
No, he battles hard.
Sorry?
He battles hard.
Yeah, well, maybe he has to. Look, honestly, Dean, the way we're playing at the moment, it's very hard to assess any of those defenders and go, they're not doing their job. Because, they are literally working overtime every quarter. So it's so hard when the ball's coming down the way it is, particularly last week. I know we've all been critical of some of the defenders that we've rolled out this year and some of the things they've done. Yep. But, I'd love to have a look at guys like that in a side where we're more competitive.
Yeah, 100%. And it staggers me even more that Jason Horn Francis was a pick because we've got no line breakers in the team now. Aaron Hall's out of the team.
Yep.
So I don't know who the line breaker is in the team. Like, who's the player that can, run and create? Because it's almost a case of picking a team that's going to play like last week, just chip it around in the back line. you know, there's not going to be any overlap from anyone.
No. Well, I've seen it written before, and the more we progress, the more I think, you know, is he coaching to minimise the margin?
Well, it's not minimising too much of that.
Still, I mean, it didn't work last week, but, I mean, really nothing has worked, Dean. I mean, that's really the thing. It just nothing seems to work. There's nothing that in that team. Or there's so many things there that you look at as a supporter and go, is that coaching for the future? It doesn't look like it.
No, I'm not so sure what the thought. I mean, Baylor Scott, full credit to, you know, credit to him. He can be a line breaker, but it's all on him, really, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
And, yeah, that's about it, really, in that 22 that I can see. So, yeah, I mean, in saying all that, how would you like to see us play this week, especially from the back half? You don't want to see chip again, no. Do you? And then just a long ball down a line to or 1-on-3.
No, of course not. But that unfortunately, I mean, I think every week we sort of show that intention in the first 15 minutes to be creative and be a bit more daring. And then we have a horrible turnover or a series of goals by the opposition. And we just go back into our shell and go, you know, long on the kick out, long down the line. And it just becomes boring, stagnant football with no movement. Yeah, I'd love to see us run and try and be creative off half back and go down the middle. It just doesn't seem to happen, but that's what I'd hope for.
Yeah, I can't see us kicking more than probably 4 or 5 goals on the weekend, to be honest with you, with that sort of lineup. It's going to be slow. It obviously means that Ben McCry's going to go back into the back line. Which probably is not a bad move. After the last couple of weeks, but which not his fault. I thought he competed okay when he had the opportunity. It was funny that first week we overused him, and then last week we barely used him at all. Like if we're going to go long down the line, kick it to Ben McKay down the line, but we didn't use him once, I don't think. So yeah, just very confusing. We all are at the moment. So.
Yeah.
Are we any chance of being competitive this week against Collingwood, who are going pretty well themselves?
Look, I would suspect for a quarter, Dean. That's what I've sort of taken out of the last couple of months, is that we seem to have a competitive energy for the first 15 minutes, and then it goes, and then we're at some level of embarrassment. It just really depends on the opposition's mind frame. So I wouldn't be surprised if we're within a goal at quarter time. 6 goals at half time, and then you can write your own margin after that.
I'm thinking, I don't even know if we'll be competing for a quarter, to be honest, this week. Maybe it might happen, but it's usually we start off all right now. We used to have a good second quarter, then it went back, then it went to the first quarter. So, we'll see how we go. But they play a high pressing game, and if you're not going to take them on, if you're just going to go long down the line to players like Jeremy Howe, they're going to cut you off quite easily.
Yep.
So
now you can see that, Dean, and I can see that. It just doesn't seem to be translated on game day. So let's see what happens.
I think everyone in the ground will see that, except for probably David Noble and Ben Amafio, to be honest with you. But maybe Kane Turner as well. But I'm not too sure. We can't give too many cheap shots out these days. So I'll leave it at that. So in saying all that, what's your final prediction? I assume you're thinking that we're going to get a good win, by the sounds of it.
Mate, look, honestly, anything under 10 goals, a 10-goal loss would be almost a tick at the moment, because it means we've only been outplayed by 2 or 3 goals a quarter. And that's almost an improvement on anything we've done the last few weeks. So, you know, if we could get it under 6 goals, Dean, I might even have a few beers. But
I might even sing the theme song. So
yeah, that's it. That's it. Unfortunately, mate, as I said to someone today, we won't start favourites in another game this year. I'm not sure we'll win a quarter in any of the remaining games. I think we're just in for a really horrible patch, unless, as you said earlier, there's a coaching change made in the next week or two. You always get that sort of reinvigoration of the list when a new voice appears. Other than that, I think this will just continue on the way it has been for the last 11 weeks.
Yeah, you're pretty much in a camp that it doesn't. You don't think we'll win another game this year?
I don't. Not the way we're playing, Dean. Absolutely no way. So unless the only way I could see that changing is if coaching obviously changes. Mm. You get the good news story of a Ben Cunnington coming back, you know, for the last two or three games and lifting the morale of the players around him, you know, experience and the story behind what he's been through. And we lift, like, for the last game against Gold Coast here in Melbourne. Yeah, I could see, you know, that groundswell of support sort of lifting us. But if it just stays the way things are at the moment, we won't win another game this year.
Yeah, it's hard to disagree with that. And there's no current form that suggests that we'll get even close to another win this year, like you said. We can't even win quarters, let alone, winning a game of football. So, yeah, we'll see how we go, I suppose. And Saturday's going to be another big challenge for the football club. So, yeah.
I think, Dean, as I've said to you before, I think we are so far off the pace at the moment that I think we need those one, maybe two games of competitiveness where we walk away with a four-goal loss against a side like Collingwood or Richmond and sort of go, oh, okay, we can start, we're starting to see something. But I couldn't possibly see us turn the form that we're currently in into a victory.
No, pretty similar to West Coast, I suppose. You know, you're saying there, they're starting to be a lot more competitive now, and actually, yeah, it's starting to come good. Players are starting to come back, and it makes a big difference to them. So, something like that would be good. And I think, like you said, I think you've got to get competitive first before you actually think of winning another game. So, we'll see how we go. Anyways, Frank, did you want to add anything else?
No, not at all, Dean. Just, we'll stick together and let's hope that there's some positive news. I saw Paul Curtis re-signing was great. I personally really think the kid's got a lot of talent. So I thought that was fantastic. Hopefully we get something out of Cam Zerha soon. And little steps like that just to reinvigorate the supporter base and the members and the list. Otherwise, mate, we'll see what happens on the weekend.
Yeah, exactly right. Yeah, no, it'd be nice to get Zerha and maybe even a Bailey Scott signature in the next couple of weeks. That'll be good. But, it's fair enough that they're holding out at the moment, to be honest with you. So, anyways, Frank, I appreciate you coming on the show and I'm sure I'll chat to you soon.
Sounds good, mate. Look after yourself.
So thanks to Frank for coming on the show once again. Like I said at the start of the show, lots of discussion points. The biggest talking point as far as team changes goes is probably no Jason or Francis, no Tarryn Thomas. I'm a bit concerned with all that at the moment. There's just not much pace in the team, to be honest with you, in the back half. Besides Bailey Scott, I don't see us moving the ball with any sort of purpose on the weekend. Dropping Josh Walker was a bit of an interesting one too. So yeah, make what you want out of that. But probably a bit surprising by that one. That's probably the surprising omission. I guess they probably feel they don't have a matchup for him over the weekend. I thought he might have been a decent matchup for Mychek, but Mychek's a very good player, isn't he? So, and like I said to Frank, he's probably had a better season than Aiden Corr, to be honest with you. So yeah, who am I to judge anyway? And apologies for probably bagging out Kane Turner a bit too much as well. So. Yeah, that's just the way it's going at the moment. It's going to be an interesting game on Saturday, to say the least. I'm not too sure what we're going to get. I'm definitely not confident. I feel like we're going to struggle to kick a score, to be honest with you. That's it. Thanks for listening. I hope you all have a lovely weekend. I will be back next week, probably either Monday or Tuesday, once again, to do a review of the performance against Collingwood. Hopefully a bit of a better performance. But, at the moment, you wouldn't be too confident that will happen. Thanks to all the people that are liking, retweeting, commenting every time I put a show up. It's really appreciated. And I'm trying to be a bit more active on Instagram. I'm trying to promote it through there, so it's obviously going out to more people. And thanks to all you lovely listeners for putting it out there to your friends and telling them all about it as well. So I really appreciate it. And the show seems to be growing, which is the main thing. So anyways, I'm pretty much done. Yep, I will see you next week, like I said. And I will leave a shout out to Michael Murphy. Bye for now.